This time we're a little torn. Prince of Peace or Prince of Peace? Prince or Prince of Peace. So guess what? We called it both of them. Amen? It's Prince of Peace and it's Prince of Peace. And how can the Prince of Peace with his Prince of Peace make an imprint on you? Okay? So that's the three messages. Look at the Prince of Peace. Amen? So let's look at it today. The Prince of Peace. And I hope that you're joining along with us. Lots of scriptures, but we'll be moving pretty rapidly. You can also get the notes online. You can go there tomorrow afternoon, click on fellowship, pull down these notes. Everything you see will just be like this, everything. Okay? So if you want to do that or take some notes today, I think it's important. Here we go. I believe we're going to learn, though. Say, let's learn something today. It's Christmas. I can't learn nothing about Christmas. I've heard of Christmas. Well, you might learn something today. It's a good chance you can learn something today. Let's do it together. Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his name, say it with me, shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. We go on to see in Isaiah, the wolf also shall dwell with the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead these wild, crazy animals. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Hang on, guys. Shh. You can. Cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. Okay? So, the Prince of Peace. Say that with me. The Prince of Peace. What's that all about? How could Jesus Christ be called the Prince of Peace with all the mess the world was in when he was on the planet? And with all the... That is the question. You've probably asked that question before. You've had your friends, when you're trying to witness to them about Christ, well, how can there be a God? How can God be a God of love with everything that's going on in this world, with all the mess, the suffering, with all the pain, with all you... Yeah, come on. Have you ever heard that? Yes or no? So how can he be called the Prince of Peace with all the mess that's going on? We're going to look at it today. Let's keep looking. Look at this mess in our world. Look at these people. Look at the pain. Look at this craziness going on. Him up there. We didn't put Ford up there. We didn't put Chrysler up there, did we? Say. We didn't put the crisis, other crises going on in our world today. What about? Keep looking. So what now? What is peace? Let's look at it. Webster says it's a state of tranquility, security, harmony of personal relationships, untroubled by conflict. Wow. Well, I ain't learning. Hebrew, that's what your Old Testament's written in. It's written in Hebrew. So that's where this Prince of Peace comes from. And we see peace all throughout the... That was the word for peace before we ever said it. Okay. How many, if you're honest, and don't lie, you're in church, listen. How many, if you're honest, you say, Clark, that's about the only... Okay. But I'm here to tell you today, if you know that word, that's about all the Hebrew you need to know. We're going to talk about it today. If you know that word, that's about all the Hebrew you need to know. Instead of feeling bad about the Hebrew you know, you're going to feel good about the Hebrew you know when we get done. Amen. That's this word mean. Here's what it means. It means completeness, as in number. Soundness in body. Tranquility in mind. That's what that word means. It means all those things. So how is Jesus Christ the Prince of Peace? What does all that mean? Let's look at it. When Jesus came, the Jews were under severe... And peace to them meant freedom from the iron fist of Rome. I got to do something. Hang on. Hey, guys. Hey, guys. I can hear everything. Can't keep my mind on what I'm doing. Sorry about it, okay? Sorry about that. I got a mind like a two-year-old. I got to stay focused. Preaching is not easy. Are you listening? The devil doesn't want this message out. He wants you to stay in trouble. And we're not going to let that happen today. When Jesus came, the Jews were under severe Roman oppression. And peace to them, freedom from the iron fist of... See, that's what they were looking for when the Messiah came. That's what they were looking for in a deliverer. They were under the iron fist of Rome. And the question is that what the Prince of Peace means? Is that what he was... That what was really going to happen? Let's keep looking. Remember on Palm Sunday, what did they cry on Palm Sunday? Say it with me. Hosanna! What does that mean? Save now! Save us, snakes who are ruling over us. Save us! That's what the Jewish people were crying. Do y'all remember that? Yes or no? We celebrate every Easter. But guess what? And that followed, they cried saying, Hosanna to the Son of the name of the Lord. A Passion Week, they're crying, save us now! Because they wanted to be free. The Prince of Peace was going to free them from the iron fist of Rome. Keep looking. By Thursday, they were shouting what? Say it with me. They turned on a dime, didn't they? What peace meant to them. He can't deliver us, so do what? Kill him! Kill him! How many of us use? Something goes wrong in our life. Now, we're taught even by a lot of churches today, especially on Christian Television Network, that you're supposed to have all your money, you're supposed to get all your healing, your world's supposed to just be all happy, happy, happy. You ever heard that on Christian television? Yes or no? It's not reality. Okay? You can watch, you can flick to the cows come home, and your problem ain't going away, friend. You better find a Prince of Peace. There's more to it, little miracle. Are you listening to me today? There's something deeper here. There's something greater going on. Okay? And I sort of got a little bit of it in my office this week, and I want to share it with you. Let's keep looking. Pilate, he answered, here it is on Thursday, Wednesday or Thursday. He said to them, what will you do, should that I do with this Jesus, the man you call the King of the Jews? They cried out, crucify him. And then why? What has he done? What he's done is what he's not doing. He's listening. He's not the one, they thought. And they cried out the more what? Exceedingly, crucify him. So I'm in a quandary as I'm studying. What is the Prince of Peace? What does it mean? It certainly didn't mean what they thought. Keep looking. This doesn't sound like complete. How many want to bet on that week, that Passion Week, and even those days when it was Christ was being crucified? How many want to bet that some people were going around saying shalom? Don't you think that was being heard as well? Say, shalom, shalom, shalom. This don't sound like a whole lot of shalom. What's going on? Does Prince of Peace mean Jesus came to free us from dictators or oppressive governments? Pop it up. I don't know. I think there's something more going on about why Jesus Christ is called the Prince of Peace. Are y'all listening? Okay? I know some of you are disappointed about the recent election. Okay? There's a little more going on in our big picture with God than what goes on in America. I hate to break the news to you. Amen? God's out to save people. God's about Christ. And so more and more and more come and spend eternity with Him. That's the biggest picture of all. Okay? And I know there are really bad people. Is that why He came and died on the cross? Is that what it's all about? Yes or no? No. Let's keep looking. As a matter of fact, this is where the learning begins. I don't think you've learned anything yet, have you? You probably say, man, Clark ain't taught me nothing today. Here we go. Well, here's where the learning begins. Shalom, in particular, means, say it, a covenant peace with God. Say it again, a covenant peace with God. How's your number with Him? You in Him or you ain't? Say, if you're not in Him, you're not complete. A soundness. Okay? A tranquility. A contentment, a friendship. Do you see the word shalom a little now? This is a great word. Keep looking. In the Old Testament, the Jews would actually offer a sacrifice called a peace offering. This idea of peace with God or a covenant with God, it was nothing new in the Old Testament. It was right before their eyes, but they didn't see it. They thought it meant, save, come, and we're going to whoop everybody's tail. You know, God's a little bigger than all that. Do you understand that? Say. He had a plan to save you, to save me, to save. This thing of Jesus coming is not a warm, fuzzy feeling because He came to Bethlehem born in a manger and we get little fuzzies. This is a big deal. This is all about shalom, peace with God, completeness, soundness, tranquility, contentment, friendship. Listening. Peace with God. Peace with me. Peace offerings are mentioned, say it with me, over how many times? 87 times. It's important that we have peace with God. Can you say that with me? It's important that we have peace with God. That's the most important thing. A covenant peace with God. God was showing it over and over and over in the Old Testament. I could have put all the scriptures up, but we didn't. Prince of Peace, that's what we're talking about. The Old Testament declares those who follow God's commands will have peace. Those who follow God's command will have peace. He wants us to have peace. Let's look at the Scripture. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love shall offend them. And the work of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man that finds wisdom and the man that gets understanding. Look at the next verse. Her ways are ways of pleasantness and her paths are what? Peace. So throughout the Word of God in the Old Testament, we see, we do what God's Word says as we listen to Him and obey Him. The Old Testament says those who refuse to follow God's commands not have peace. What I'm trying to say is we're getting somewhere, but there's a pattern laid in the Old Testament where God wants you and me to have peace. That's why He calls this one coming the Prince of Peace. He's always wanted us to have peace with Him. He's much more concerned with you having peace with Him than He is on this planet, everybody getting along with each other. He's always going to get along down here, yes or no? Uh-uh. Ain't happening. He wants you to have a covenant relationship with Him. He's always been about peace. Isaiah 48th word, He says, there's no peace, says the Lord, to the wicked. For hard heads like me, same verse again, there's no peace, says my God, to the wicked. Okay, you've got to follow Him. We'll never have peace. 9:8, the way of they have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. So what have I learned from the Old Testament about this word shalom? Here it is. That word means completeness, soundness, tranquility, contentment, friendship with God. The word shalom is a bigger word. It means a covenant freedom from oppressors. It never meant Jesus is coming and we're going to kick everybody's tail. It never meant that. You understand? There's something bigger going on. God has laid out a pattern in the Old Testament. He wants us to have peace. You're not at peace with God if you don't know Jesus Christ. You can hum on the beach. You can hug a tree. You can do all that mess, okay? But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you have no peace. That's what the Bible says. For God's only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should... We're condemned already, the Bible says. When you don't know Christ, you're already condemned. Okay, what do I need to go to hell? Nothing. That's where Jesus did something to stop you from going there, but you've got to put your faith in Him and turn. That's what the Bible teaches. God wants you to have peace. He loves you. A covenant peace with God. That's what that word means. Look at the Scripture. Scripture talks about this covenant peace. Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be apart from thee, neither shall say it with me. The covenant of my peace be removed, says the Lord, that hath mercy on you. Ezekiel 36 with them. It shall be a what? Everlasting covenant with them. I will place them. I will multiply them. I will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forever. So, this peace. It didn't pan out when he was here on the planet, did he? It just didn't work out for the Jews where, I mean, and quite frankly, if you're expecting, I want to pray for the best, do the best, work hard, do everything we can, but I tell you what, there's probably a fat chance that our world's not going to have oppressors. We live, our earth is cursed, okay? That doesn't mean we shouldn't work hard and do the best. I understand all that. But there's something else about this Prince of Peace. More than just that, that's for sure. It's about a covenant. Let's talk about the Prince of Peace this morning. Here we go. Got five things. Y'all ready? Five things. The Prince of Peace. Y'all ready? Y'all awake? Have I bored you still? Here we go. I'm trying to stay awake. Here we go. The Prince of Peace. Let's talk about it. The Bible says, number one, he would be born in Bethlehem. Specifically where? Ephratah. Look at the Scripture. This was hundreds of years before Christ would ever be born, or the Prince of Peace would be born. But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is ruler, and from old, from everlasting. This Prince of Peace, the first thing we see, he would be born in Bethlehem, Ephratah. What's important about that? I've been to Bethlehem many, many, many times. At least he said it for years. Doesn't he have good Christmas lights? You know what I'm saying? I'm saying, sorry, excuse me. But anyway, you know, you'd think that place had the best Christmas lights in the world. Amen? In the Word of God, according to people who are a lot smarter than historical Bible land maps, historical geographers, okay? They tell us that there were actually three Bethlehems. Three Bethlehems when Christ was born. Here's how great your Bible is. specifically where. And that was given hundreds of years Christ ever came. I mean, we'd applaud and say, hey, look, if you'd just tell us where somebody's going to be born in just one of the three Bethlehems, that'd be pretty good. Well, in the earlier crowd, I spoke on this first different message this morning. But when Joy was pregnant, our children, we thought they would be born in Port Sharp, but we couldn't say for sure. What if we were? That was the plan, okay? Can you imagine hundreds of years earlier, God prophesied exactly that. There were three of them. No, specifically, right where there's a peace. This stuff matters to him. You listening? Shall be the what? Jesus Christ, that one born in Bethlehem. You'll never know peace if you try to find it some other place other than Jesus Christ. Let's look at the second thing about the principles. He'll bring us good news. 7, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that brings good tidings, that publishes what? Of good, that publishes salvation, that says unto Zion, thy God reigns. This Prince of Peace is going to bring us good news. It sounds exactly like Mark 16:15 to me in the New Testament. And he's just talking. Go into all the world and preach the what? Gospel to every creature. How many knows what that word means? Gospel. What's the definition of gospel? News. That's what Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, this one, the Prince of Peace, would bring good news. And that gospel, the good news of Jesus, was more than just overthrowing Rome. It meant something different than that. It means this, born in Bethlehem, he would bring good news. Keep looking. The Prince of Peace would be an offering for our sins. This is where they missed it. Save now! Deliver us! No, that's not why the Prince of Peace came. The Prince of Peace came to be an offering for our sins. That's why Jesus came. Here's what the prophet Isaiah said, the same one that called him the Prince of Peace. But he was wounded for our transgressions hundreds of years before it ever happened. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our what? Prince of Peace was upon him, and with his stripes we're healed. Verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul a what? What did we learn? There were 80 in the Old Testament. A what kind of offering? Peace offering. The Prince, it pleased the Lord to make him an offering for us. God loves you that much. To make his own son a peace offering for you and for me. You listening? He'd be an offering for sin. He shall see his the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify how many? Many. For he shall bear their what? Iniquities. So did the Prince of Peace come so the Jews could be free from the Roman tyranny? Be free from oppressors here on this planet? Bad government or whatever? Is that why he came? No. Prince of Peace was born in Bethlehem, specifically Ephrathah. The Prince of Peace would bring good news, gospel. Good news. The Prince of Peace would be an offering for our sins. We have Prince of Peace. Who's that? Our Lord Jesus Christ. And that while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for us. Why did Christ die for us? So we could have a covenant peace with God. So that I could have completeness, soundness, tranquility, contentment, friendship, shalom. Got it? You know you learned something today. You didn't know that, did you? You know you didn't know it. That's good stuff. Okay? And me from being from Rockingham, North Carolina, me knowing any Hebrew is good. I'm telling you that right now. Amen. The Prince of Peace, number 4. He didn't come to send peace into the world. The idea, free us from Rome, save us now. Never his reason for coming. He didn't come to send peace. How do I know that? Look at the Bible. Jesus speaking. Matthew 10. Who therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father. Before men, him will I deny before my Father who's in heaven. Think not that I am come to send what? Peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a what? Sword. What's that mean? Here's what it means. That passage goes on to say, if you don't deny yourself and take up your cross and me, that hurts, doesn't it? Say, oh, ow. I thought he's just supposed to make me happy, give me all my miracles, and give me all my money, and make me prosper. And no, he didn't come to do all that for you. I don't care what somebody teaches you. I'm shooting to say that stuff. Because if I could have a church where I could tell you everything's going to be great, you're going to get your miracles, you're going to get your money, you're going to prosper, you're going to do this, you can build a big crowd. Probably hate my guts. You know? Because that ain't the real. When you have the Prince of Peace, my friend, you can go to hell and back, go through, come out solid, complete, sound, tranquility, friendship. You ever been there, though? Say? God says in James 4:4, you adulterers and adulteresses, no. Whosoever therefore, pop it back up, will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. On what I have, what I can get, how I can feel, blah, blah, blah. That's not where our focus should be. Jesus Christ died so you could have shalom. Not that your world's always going to be perfect. Okay? And I speak from a little experience on that. My world hasn't been perfect. Let's keep looking. The last thing. Prince of Peace didn't come to send peace, but a what? If you read that passage on further, it's quite a confusing passage. He says, your love compared that you should have for him compared to your mother, father, sister, brother, almost looked like hate. Isn't that crazy? That's how much we're supposed to love him for what he's done for us. It's a big deal, this Prince of Peace. It was more than just freeing us from Rome or oppressors. The Prince of Peace, number to give peace to sinners. He gives us that covenant peace with God. That's why you can't get it by good works. I'll do a good work and I'll get peace with God. Are you crazy? Say. Did you know there were over 300 prophecies about Jesus Christ in the Old Testament before he came? Did you know if just 60 of those prophecies would come true? Well, many, many, many more have come true. Almost all. The bottom line is it would be the chat happening. All those prophecies, just one-fifth of the 300 would be one plus 157 zeros, according to one mathematician. There's no way you can work your way. There's no way you can. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You got it? Say. There's nobody else that God's going to accept. It pleased the Lord to bruise who? Him. Okay? That's the bottom line. That's why you must put you must mouth. Say somebody else talking. He went, you must be born again. Why? Because I'm the one who can give you that covenant of peace. I know I'm banging that horse pretty hard, but it's really important that you get it. Give you peace. John 14:1, Jesus speaking to his disciples. He said, let not your heart be troubled, guys. Believe in me. Why? I'm the way to him. That's the covenant peace right here. I'm the connection. Matter of fact, he connects the dots in verse 6. Jesus said unto his disciples, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by who? Me. I'm the one content, a friend of God. John 14:27, same passage, a little later on. Peace, he's the Prince of Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I what? Give to you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's the Prince of Peace. You know, I've never studied this. I mean, I've looked at these scriptures bunches of times, but I've never looked at the fact that he's my Prince of Peace. And it's pretty cool. I mean, some of you might be bored, I understand. It's pretty cool. He's my Prince of Peace. I don't think I'll ever look at that anymore the same. The everlasting Father, the Prince of Shalom. I am complete. I am sound. I have contentment. I am his friend. Does the Bible say anything like that? Jesus, what? Sticks close friendship with God. We're done with the message almost, coming to the end. It's interesting. Shalom is a covenant peace with God. And here's what Jesus said when he had his disciples at the Last Supper. What's he going to say? Here's what he says. For I, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took what? Bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is... What's an... what I'm about to do, I'm the Prince of Peace. What I'm about to do, my body, my blood, this is the new covenant. This is the chance to have a covenant peace with God. He's the Prince of Peace. That's who He is. We have a wonderful Savior. Are you listening? A wonderful Savior. We're almost done. Look at the Prince. Hard to see. Will you take that off one more time? We got bad lighting here. That's okay. We won't have bad lighting forever. Those are prints. You see those prints? The Prince of Peace. That's why He came, not to free us from wrath, make us healthy, wealthy, and wise. How much is it worth to keep a soul from burning in hell forever? That's some real peace. That's why He came, so you could have life abundantly. Okay? That's that abundant life, to have a life in Christ, to have the Holy Spirit, the living God inside of you. Shalom means what? We're reviewing. We're almost done. Means what? Peace. We knew that before we came, preacher. All right. Do you have a covenant peace with God? A covenant peace with God. Let's look at them one by one. Are you complete in number? You plus Jesus equals eternal. That's why that'd be stupid. I did a good job. I gave money to church. You ain't but one, fool. That ain't going to get you in. That ain't completeness. Look at what I did. Are you complete in your number? You plus completion. Touchdown. How many saw the Florida game? Yeah, wait, hang on. Here we go. Here we go. I wouldn't say that if I was in Tuscaloosa right now. Here we go. Soundness. You might not have every duck in a row in your life, but can you say today, Pastor, I know Christ. My salvation is sound because it's not in me. It's not in you, Preacher Clark. It's not in a denomination of Jesus. I am sound. Amen? Can you say that? That's shalom. Number three, tranquility in Jesus. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The Bible says that we're to a living sacrifice. We're to have our mind, tranquil mind. I'm not saying you ain't a little crazy like I am. I'm just trying to say, do you know in your head, in your heart as well, obviously, have it up here, I am a believer in Christ. Say, can you go to bed without torment at night? When things are wrecked and your world's nuts, can you at least say, thank God I know my mind is right because I've got my faith in Him. You listening? I might just be talking to two of you. Here we go. Number four, contentment. Do you have a covenant peace with God? Are you content in Jesus? Say, thank the Lord. Amen. Are you content in Jesus? Or have you got to get this or do this or something else for you to have contentment in Him? Or is the Prince of Peace enough? Say. Number five. Do you have a friendship with Jesus Christ? If you know Him, then you know. Be perfect and talk to Him. You got a friendship with Him? Say. Then shalom. Amen? I never thought I'd preach. Shalom means peace. Complete, sound, tranquility, contentment, friendship with God. Shalom is about a covenant peace with who? God. And only one can give me that covenant peace. His name is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Let's praise Him for His word this morning. Can we do that? Thank you, Lord, for Your word. Yay! Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. We wouldn't know a thing without His word. We'd be hurting. Well, anyway, I hope you'll take that with you this week. I know I got something this week in my office, and I'll give this week to you, and I hope that you've got that. Listen, after what we talked about today, why in the world would you say happy holidays? When Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, came to give us eternal life. Don't let this world bully you. A friend of the world is an enemy of God. But what will they think? What will they think? My gosh. They're going to think you said Merry Christmas is what they're going to think. Amen? And next, yeah, praise the Lord. That's what they're going to think. Amen. And somebody came up with a little idea, and we're going to go with it. And we've ordered them a nasty in their hands. Hope they'll get it back to us. But this coming next Sunday, we've got beautiful Merry Christmas bumper stickers for you. We want a blanket the town that says Merry Christmas, Fellowship Church of Englewood. Amen? Come on. We'll put them on. Put them on. Because he's the Prince of Peace. Come on, that's what this is all about. That's what this is, Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you, Lord, for just the good folks here at Fellowship where we can preach. Thank you for the liberty. Thank you, Lord, for teaching me this week, for opening up my eyes and using others, teachers in my life to help me understand what shalom really means. What this covenant peace with. I got lots and lots to learn, Lord, but thank you for sharing that with me this week. And I pray that all of us will be better off because we just got a better understanding. We just scratch the surface of who the Prince of Peace is. And my prayer is that not a soul would leave this place not having with you through Jesus. That's our prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.